and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
There's a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 which I want to read to you. Ecclesiastes is the book after Proverbs, if you want to know where it is, which is after Psalms, so it's kind of in the middle of the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8. And the writer says this, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man or the woman who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. And we are actually made to do life with each other and made to do life with God. It is the best way to do life. And even as your first time in church and maybe you don't know God yet, I just want to let you know that actually doing life together with others is the way to live life. Now, this morning I talked about actually that we need to be interdependent with God and kind of unpack that. And if you're interested, then the podcast will be live by tomorrow morning and you can kind of unpack that, and I gave some thoughts on it. But tonight what I want to do is talk about being interdependent one with another, with fellow human beings. How do we, as it were, be good connectors, good working together, a good group, be in church or in family life or in business life or in team life, what it is? How do we work well together? How do we become interdependent with other people? Before I do that, I'll just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us, that you believe in us. Father, I thank you more than anything that you sent your Son to die for us so that we could know you and have a relationship with you, so that we could be dependent on you. And Father, you in at least one circumstance on earth are dependent on us, and we can work together, Father, to do things. But Father, we know that we need you. And so Father, I pray for two things. Father, I pray for each one here, anybody here who may not know you, that tonight as they get a chance that they may say, I want to get to know God and begin that relationship, begin that interdependency. And Father, I pray for all of us, whether we know you or not, that we would learn how it is and how we should act together in community, in groups and families, in wider communities and business and in teams, God, that we might, as it were, maximize that abundant life that you've offered us as we work in accord with one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Genesis 2, verse 18, God says to Adam, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. And even though Adam had a perfect relationship with God and had the whole creative world to be with, he said, you need other human beings. And scripture is full of stories of how man has worked together. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 12 really spells out for us the need, both within a church setting, but you can apply this to any setting, any community, why and how we should work together. He says this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What he's trying to say is this is, everybody has gifts and skills. You just turned to your neighbor and said, man, you're awesomely skilled. Because you are. Because you are. Each one of us has incredible gifts and skills. Natural, you have great natural gifts that come from the genes in your body, in your upbringing. But you also have if you love Jesus, you have supernatural gifts given by God. You don't deserve them. You haven't worked for them. You haven't earned them. They're just given. They're yours, and you have those as part of who you are, as much as any natural talent that you have from your genes. And Paul is saying that you bring them all into the party for the common good. And not just in the church setting, that we hope you do bring them into the family of God here, but in your personal families, in your businesses, everywhere you go, you bring yourself, your gifts, and your skills to as it were, help the whole community go forward. Because it's necessary. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, Paul puts it like this. He says, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, if it was just you and you were an eye, says Paul, where would the sense of hearing be? Or how would you walk? Or how would you do all the other things that particular part of the body can't do? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, I love this next phrase, just as he wanted them to be. Do you know that you are created just the way God wanted you? You have a unique set of gifts and skills, and God just wanted you just that way, and he purposed you, and he's going to give you a job, a role, a mission that will uniquely and amazingly fill your gifts and skills. And I'm glad God has done that. I know way back in the 90s, before some of you younger ones were born, I was planning to begin to, I was already working on my father's farm, and I plan to take over my dad's farm and make it big and become a business person and make a few million. And trust me, I was going to buy a Lamborghini. I was going to build a castle or buy a castle. I had a plan that I thought was my future. But God called Michelle and I into the ministry, into youth work to start off with. And God knew who I really was. And as I followed his plan and purpose, even though, and trust me, I did, I grieved the loss of my dream and what I thought was my purpose. But as I've actually discovered that God actually knew me better than I knew myself. And as I've walked into everything, I love what we get to do now. I love the friends that we have both in this country and around the world. I love the fact that I've helped thousands of people in their Christian walk. Isn't that incredible? I'm so excited that I've got a chance. I meet so many people, even around Preston and Lodge, and they say, hi, Ed, it's good to see you. And I say, hi, it's great to see you. And I have no idea who they are at all. And they talk about something or other, and I go, that's great, fantastic, it's good to see you doing well. And they walk off, and I still don't know who they are. But isn't that amazing? That I get to help people. So many people, and my memory's not that good, right? I can't remember. You see, God knows me. God knows you better, and he's made you just perfectly. And this isn't part of this point, but if you would follow him, you will discover, as you follow God, that he will not just place you in a unique, purposeful place, but he will use your gifts and skills so that in that place, not that it'd be easy, but it would always be joyful. In the middle of your soul, you'll have that joy and peace because you'll know you're doing the right thing despite the circumstances around you. Anyway, that wasn't what I said. Every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And it goes on to say about some parts are indispensable and some parts are more important, but actually all the parts are important and all parts are indispensable because all of them are necessary and needed. We need each other. We just do. If we think about it, we just need each other. We just need each other. And I just want to give you one or two things that I pray will help all of us to actually be that community to the nth degree, both here, but also in your families and in your businesses, in your teams, and whatever else you're part of. Are you ready? Number one is this. Can I encourage you to figure out what you are good at? Figure out what you are good at. And allow others to help you at what you're not good at. So once you've figured out what you're good at, that defines everything else that you need to get some people in your life to help. And remember, to help those who are not good at the thing that you're good at. Have you got that? Bit of a long point, right? But figure out what you're good at. Allow others to help you in the rest and help those who need your gift. If you will do this, you'll make both your life easy and everybody else's life easier as well. There's nothing worse with living somebody or working with somebody who thinks they're good at something and they're absolutely useless at it. Have you ever worked with anybody like that? Somebody wants to do something and they're working really hard at it, but they're absolutely useless at it. If only they would figure out that they're terrible at it, that would save you a lot of hassle and them a lot of hassle. And if you're kind of the boss over them, wouldn't it be marvelous if the people that work under you or that you're trying to lead would just figure out for themselves what they're terrible at, and then you don't need to go to them, put your arm around them and have that horrible conversation of like, oh, can I just let you know, you can't do maths. You're rubbish at maths. I had a PA, she's not here, is she? Is she at home? She's in there. She's over there. We love you, Claire. But Claire's not good at maths. Fortunately, she knew she was not good at maths before she started joining the team. So it wasn't so bad. But imagine if Claire had thought she was great at maths. I mean, she can't add up. Bless you, Claire. She can't add up. Can she, Jack? She can't add up. You can give her a list of 10 numbers, even like two-digit ones. She'll get the wrong answer. I don't know how. It's a miracle. It really is. Now, me, I can't spell. But Claire can spell. Claire's good at spelling, right? She's amazing at English. She's great. I'm rubbish. If you give me anything more than a word about six or seven letters long, even some of the, you know, there, there's, and where's, and where's, and bears, and bears, and, you know, those words? I have no idea. I just guess. I give it to Claire, and she fixes it. It's marvelous. But see, that's what it should be like in every community that you're part of. If you could figure out what you're good at, if you could learn the rest is not what you're good at, wow. It means that you can use your strengths, they can use their strengths. I feel amazing helping Claire at maths. I hope you felt amazing helping me at English because I appreciate it massively. You know, I once sent to Pastor Dave, I said, Dave, do you think I could help in the worship on stage? Guess what he said? No, he's far too diplomatic for that. He said something along the lines of, Ed, you're very good, but I'm sure there's people better than you and you have other things that would be better use of your time. Or something like that, which meant, really, I got it. You're terrible, Ed. Please don't do it. Right? And figuring out what you're good at, allowing others to help you with the rest, and then helping those who need your gift is massively important. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have a go at some of the things you don't think you're good at. I'm not saying that. Have a go, have fun, but just don't concentrate on them. Don't make the big deal. I'm actually trying to learn some Portuguese at the moment. I don't do languages, right? But my wife is, well, it's actually our son's fault. What's the app called? What? Duolingo. And so I'm trying, I started the same time as my wife. And this silly app has leagues, right? You automatically become part of a league. I am in the bronze league, which is, actually, I'm quite pleased. It's not bad. I think I'm 14th or 15th in the bronze league. Do you know, if I carry on position for the rest of the day, promoted into the silver league. How exciting is that, right? So I'm having a go. My wife's in the gold league already. And if she does all right for the rest of the day, which she will, because she's second or third in the league, you're fourth. Oh, no. Anyway, she's slacking. Anyway, she's going to get promoted from the gold league to the next league because she's much better at languages than me. So it's not, you can't have a go at things you're not good at, but don't concentrate on those things. Don't make the gift that you share. And I want to encourage you as well is to keep asking God for new gifts and new skills. It says at the end of the passage, 1 Corinthians 12, it says this in verse 31, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And I think that's trying to say, whatever you've got now, don't settle there. Keep asking God for more gifts. But figure out what you got. Number two, I think if we're going to create great communities, have this kind of synergy together, let's live lives that are generous. Let's live a life of generosity. Psalm 112, verse 5 says, God will come to him who is generous. Proverbs 11:25 says a generous man will prosper, and Proverbs 22:9 says a generous man will himself be blessed. And I want to encourage you to be generous. And don't think of generosity in terms of finance alone. There's a place to be generous with your finances. And please do be generous with your finances. I've said this before, but I love hearing stories of people fighting to pay for bills at restaurants and things like that. That's a Christian attitude. I want to pay. No, I want to pay. Because it's just whoever does that in the world, right? But so do be generous. But there's so many other ways you can be generous. You might say, well, I'm a student. I don't have much money. Oh, you don't need money to be generous. You can be generous with your time. People need time. People need time. People love hanging out. Well, you might have no money, but you can hang out with people. That's incredibly valuable. We live in a very lonely world these days. People love time. You can be generous with your encouragement. Well done, way to go. Really love this about you. Really appreciate this. I think you have a great potential. Great. You can be generous with your encouragement. You can be generous with your forgiveness. I'll come on to that a bit more in a second. You can be generous with your love. Be generous. But also, and this is key, allow others to be generous to you. I occasionally meet people, and I'm not one of them, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Well, if you try to be generous to them, they turn you down. It's like, no, it's fine. Honestly, I'm fine. No, I don't want to take it because I don't want to owe you anything. That's not a Christian perspective. That's an independent perspective. An interdependent perspective is, I will be generous and I will allow others to be generous to me. Because that's what it is. It's supposed to be a relationship where both give and both receive. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, I love hearing stories of people receiving meals. And we were once in a pastoral meeting and we were discussing somebody who'd been into hospital. And I can't remember, it's probably Michelle, it probably wasn't me. He said, you know, are they being well looked after? And somebody said, well, do you know, their small group, their connect group, they have already organized meals for 2 weeks. They've already visited hospital. They've already got plans in place. They're looking after them, looking after their family. And it wasn't organized by leaders or an organization. It was done from a heart passion to be generous. And I go, that's a church. That's a family. That's the way it should be. And I was super pleased. I was super pleased. Like, wow, that's awesome. I love hearing stories like that. Let us be generous. Oh, can I get a bit political for a second? Is that? I know it's a bit dangerous, but you're right there, Josh. You sure? Yeah, we're kind of doing that. Yeah, but okay. I just want to say, let's be thankful for the generous nature of our government. We use the health service a lot. I mean, there's probably some of you use it more than we do, but we use it a lot for ourselves and for our children over the years. And I know for all the taxes that I pay, I don't pay for my health care. I just don't. I paid all my taxes ever since I started work, and I've paid them today and everything else. But we have an incredible, generous state. Let's, as Christian people, recognize that somebody has paid for so much that comes through the government. Let's be grateful of the generosity of others through their taxing and giving, be it businesses, individuals, all of that we pay, well, whatever it is. Let's be a people that recognize the generosity of this way. Next, let's never be entitled. Entitlement is a big issue in our state, in our country at the moment. Let's, as Christians, never feel like that. Let's always say thank you and be amazed. Michelle and I, we get to travel around the world. And we've been some places where, you know, our amazing system, our amazing government doesn't exist, where taxes aren't collected because you can't collect taxes or whatever it is, but there isn't the finance to do what we count as normal here. I always come back incredibly grateful that we get to live in this place and people honor the law and do all this stuff. So, and I think if we're going to create great communities, we also need to create great communities out there, which means being thankful of the generosity of others through the government. Is that okay? It's a rather safe political point, really, but there we go. Won't get into Boris Johnson and all that, because that's not quite as safe. or Jeremy Corbyn, depending on your point of view. You might love one or hate the other, or might hate both, I don't know. But you don't hate them, just love them less, because we're Christians. Anyway, number three. Let's give as little as offence as possible. You will all give some offence off, right? So just let's do it as little as possible. Sometimes you just offend people by turning up in a room. I've done that a few times. You go, I've offended you already? How did that happen? You just got through the door. Wow. Yeah, anyway, but let's give a little offence as possible and take offence at no one. Take offence at no one. This, I believe, is what... Well, not only is best for us, it's what God has asked us to do. Matthew 18, the disciples ask Jesus about this forgiveness, because offense is actually harboring unforgiveness, right? You know that. Yeah? So they say, Peter comes to Jesus in verse 21 of it. He says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times or forever. Just keep on forgiving him. And then Jesus tells a story of a king who had many servants, and one particular servant owed him an absolute fortune, many millions of pounds in today's terms, and couldn't afford to pay, and he was going to get thrown into jail, and his family was going to get thrown into jail, and that was going to be the end of his life. And he fell down on his knees, and he begged for forgiveness. And the king, in his generosity, forgave him the entire debt, and he went away debt-free. Isn't that amazing? And that's what God does to us, by the way. And later on, when we say, do you want a relationship with God? And you need to know that God paid an incredible price. He forgave a great debt for our rebellion against him, a debt that we could never afford to pay, a debt that caused Jesus to go to the cross and die for us on our behalf. But this aside, back to story. That servant that been forgiven so much, which represents us, right? That's why, that's the connection. Found a servant that just owed him a few days pay, a few months worth of, not just a few thousand in our today's terms. And said, I need my money from you. And the servant, oh, I'm going to throw you in jail. It's the very same story that he just used on the king, but his servant, when he fell down and he begged, he wasn't forgiven. And he was thrown into jail. And Jesus says, do you know what happens when the king hears the story of what that servant did to his servant? He's going to recall that servant. And he's going to say, actually, your debt's back on you. And he's going to get thrown in jail. We need to forgive as God has forgiven us. We need to take offense at no one. Give as little offense possible, take offense at no one. Matthew 18, 15 to 17 gives us the process of how to process of how to get offense sorted, how to get it talks about Matthew 18 verse 15. If your brother sins against you, if he causes you offense or there's an issue there, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. No gossiping, no talking to your friend, no doing anything else. Just go to him and say, look, hey, can I have a conversation? That hurt, that was painful. I didn't understand that. Did you really mean that? And sort it out between the two of you. And if your brother, if your sister listens to you, then it's done, it's dusted, and no need to know, and it's all friendship sorted out. But if he will not listen, then take one or two others along with you so that every matter may be established by the testimony of truth. Basically, get some friends together and say, hey, can we sort this out? Can we resolve the issue? And then if that doesn't work, then get the church leadership involved. If he refuses to listen to them, then tell it to the church. And then if he refuses to listen to them, then let the church decide what is the best way. But let's process any offense, any hurt in the right way. Romans 12, verse 18 says, live at peace with all as much as possible by you. And let's do that. And finally, number four. If we're going to create great communities, if we're going to live these interconnected, interdependent lives, I think we need to find great friends who love Jesus. You need some great friends who love Jesus. And we need to be a great friend. I think some Christians want to find great friends who love Jesus, but they don't want to be a great friend. We need both. You know, some of the most loneliest people in the world, it's not because people won't love them, it's just they won't love anybody else. And so they're lonely. Be a great friend, and you'll find great friends. but find those great friends who love Jesus. Can I suggest, and I think the Bible commands it, marry one of them as well. Right? Find a great friend who loves Jesus. Of the opposite sex, just thought I'd make that clear. And then marry them. But let's find great friends and be a great friend. Friends will give you wisdom and instruction. I thank God, not quite every day, because that's not true, but most days, for the friends in this place, the friends in our lives, that give us wisdom and instruction, because they love us. Friends also challenge and correct us. And I love that I have people in my world who will say, is that good for you? Are you sure that's the right thing to do? That's what great friends do. And if you don't have a great friend like that, you need to seek them out and be that great friend. Great friends love and care for you. They're there for you when the chips are down. Years and years ago when we involved in youth work and we got asked to do something. We didn't know what it was. It's called Valley Church. Isn't it fun, right? It's great. But we didn't know the time and we were upset. I was particularly upset about leaving the youth work. And we talked to some friends and do you know what the friend said? We don't know what the future looks like, but we're with you. That's a good friend. That's a great friend. A friend that you can do life with. A friend that you can trust. Friends strengthen and encourage. Friends talk with each other and share with each other. They process. So many people suffer darkness and don't have friends to talk with. There's a movie, isn't there, with Crocodile. Is it Crocodile Dundee 1? And he's in New York. New York. He's in New York. And he hears about this guy has a counselor. And his comment is, does he not have any mates? Does he not have any mates? And it's profound. It's profound. Mates are the people we do most of our processing with. There's a place for counseling, by the way, just in case you're wondering. There is a place for that, for professional help. But most of the time, mates will do. Mates will see you through most things in life. God designed us not to be independent, not to struggle. My wife actually made a point when I was talking about this. She said, do you know the toughest thing about a saw is this? Normally it's not too bad, but when you hit a knot, a problem in life, sawing gets really, really hard. And you know it's true. Hollies are quite good. They don't have a lot of knots in. But knots are really difficult to saw through. If you would move away from an independent life to an interdependent life, do you know what you'll notice in those hardest moments of your life? As you have an interdependent relationship with God, with Jesus, and an interdependent relationship with each other, you'll discover in those hardest moments of your life that somehow you can get straight through the middle of them to the other side with an ease that you're like, wow, it might not always be easy. It might always be straightforward, but you'll get to the other side as you trust in God and have a relationship with Him and also have your relationships with fellow Christians and other people in the world. You'll be amazed. God wants us to live. Jesus said, John 10:10, I have come to give you life in all its fullness. Part of that is actually learning to live in interdependence and not independence.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.